Good morning. Roger mentioned it today that it's going to be like a really hot day. And, you know, we're right in the middle of summer. Kids are still off from school for about another month or so. And during the summer, we tend to have high expectations. Kids, when they get out of school in June, they think this is going to be like the best summer ever. Every day is going to be fun. We're going to be swimming and playing and all that stuff every day. Or you go on a family vacation like the Hayeses just came back from. And they think that every day of that family vacation is going to be great. There's going to be beautiful weather each day. Everybody's going to be getting along. It's just, we have such high expectations for vacations or what the summer's going to bring. Unfortunately, usually like 2 weeks in, kids get a little bit bored without being in school, and they're like, oh, this great vacation. Now I don't get to see my friends so much. I'm getting a little bit bored. Maybe I should go back to school. Or, you know, when you go on a vacation, it's never perfect. There's weather issues. There's conflicts. Things don't work. So sometimes our expectations for a great summer aren't met. We're getting close to football season. Every week, those Cowboys, Eagles, Steelers, Nittany Lions, those fans of those teams, they expect their teams to do well. And if they don't win, it's like a long week until the next Saturday or Sunday comes along. You know, school starting, we expect our kids to do their best, get those good grades, and especially not to be receiving phone calls about behavior problems. And for those of us that are in the workforce, when we're working for our company, they expect us to put them first. They expect our cell phone to be by our side so that they could call us 24/7 and say, hey, we got a problem, get in here. So we have high expectations, and people have high expectations for us also. As Christians, we're going to talk about some expectations that God has. And He holds us to high expectations. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's Jesus talking in Matthew 5. So Jesus is telling His disciples, you have to be better than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. So, you know, back in those days, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were up here and everybody else is like sort of down here. But the problem with the Pharisees and teachers is, yeah, they knew all 7,000 laws of the Jewish religion, but they weren't living them out. They held that position of power over the people. Jesus, He does expect us to know our faith, but He also expects us to live it out better than what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were doing back in those days. Last week I talked about things that challenge our faith or tests of our faith. Probably one of the things that really tests our faith are just the teachings that we are expected to live out. So I chose three teachings that I find myself difficult to follow. I don't know about you, but turning the other cheek, not a strength of mine. Forgiving 77 times. And loving your enemies, even Raven fans. I guess I got to do that. But those are three that I find myself to be difficult. And I think society, the expectations from society also sort of makes that difficult to live these out. So we're going to look at these three. And the first one is turn the other cheek. Out of Matthew 5, for you have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Now, you always struggle, or at least I struggle with that. All right, they hit me here, so now I'm supposed to let them hit me here. I don't know if that's exactly what God is telling us to do. How should we react when somebody hurts us? First off, God knows that we're not going to be happy. And He does not expect us to be happy when someone hurts us. He does not expect that. In fact, Jesus was not happy with Judas. Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go on just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. Jesus was not happy. And he let Judas know that it is not all right that you're going to betray me. It is better that you were not born than what you're about to do to me. But here is the tough part. God does not expect us to seek revenge. That is the tough part. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Do what you came for, friend. Here is the Savior of the world, God's Son. Can you imagine the pain he could have inflicted on Judas at that point? He could have brought down the thunderbolt or the lightning bolt and boom, Judas would have been gone. But he didn't. He said, "Do what you came for, friend." Jesus, even though Judas brought the army out against him for 30 pieces of silver, still loved him and still called him friend. What can we do as Christians? Again, God does not expect us to let ourselves be pushed around. Jesus did not let himself be pushed around on earth. The disciples and apostles, once Jesus had ascended to heaven and they went out and spread the word, they did not let themselves be pushed around. We are not supposed to be just, "Oh, everything's okay. That's all right that you did that to me. That's fine." No, God does not expect that. Jesus stood up to his persecutors and those he felt were leading people astray. So Jesus stood up for what he believed in. He was upset at Nazareth when his own people said, "This is just the son of a carpenter." Jesus left that town. He was upset with those people because they rejected him. His own people from that town rejected him. He was upset at the money collectors at the temple, overturned their tables. It's all right for us as Christians and as humans to get upset. Things are going to upset us. It's how we react that is what God is holding us to a higher standard. We are expected to pray for wisdom, to not seek revenge, but pray for that we find out how we should handle that situation. And we should also pray for the other person, that they realize what they're doing to us, that they have hurt us, and hopefully they ask for our forgiveness. So that is turning the other cheek. The next one, forgive 77 times. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Jesus is basically telling Peter, every time someone sins against you, you need to forgive them. That is what God expects out of us. Every time someone sins, we are expected to forgive. About a month and a half ago, horrific crime happened in a Charleston church, predominantly black church in Charleston. The man on the left up here, or right up here, your left, my right, Dylan Roof, sat in this church for an hour at a Bible study. After an hour, opened up fire and killed 9 people in the church, all black people. And it later came, you know, after they did some research on him, they actually captured him in North Carolina. They found out that he had these manifestos on the internet about his feelings about race relations. He believes in segregation. So it was definitely a hate crime. And if you ever want to hear some powerful just video or audio, search family or victims' families forgive church shooter. I did that on like YouTube or that. You will hear some powerful forgiveness statements from the people that he hurt, the families that he hurt. Here is one that I found. This is Ethel Lance's family. She was killed by Mr. Roof. Her daughter, or a daughter, I guess it was her daughter, spoke up. "I will never be able to hold her again, but I forgive you and have mercy on your soul," she said. "It hurts me. It hurts a lot of people. But God forgive you, and I forgive you." Could you do that to someone who just took away your mother? And this is just one example. There are other audio and videos that I heard where the people invited him back to Bible study. They say, "We have Bible study every Wednesday. You are welcome to come back." There's other people on these videos saying, "Use this time to repent and get your soul right with Jesus." That's how so many of these church members' families responded, with forgiveness and mercy to someone who just took a loved one away from them. How easily do we forgive others? Is this true for us? "I forgive, but I will not forget." That is a very popular statement. God, again, knows human nature. And as much as we say that we do not keep checklists, we keep checklists of what people do to us. They were nice to us these occasions, not so nice to us these occasions. God does not expect us to forget. I think what God expects us to do is if we say to someone, "I forgive you," that we never bring it up again. We never bring it up to them. We never bring it up in conversation with other people. If we truly say, "I forgive you," then never speak of that again to that person or to anybody else that you might come in contact. Just a thought. If God lived by those words, what would our future hold? Dave talked about heaven in Sunday school this morning. If God didn't forget about our sins, heaven would be a little bit tougher to get into for us. And luckily for us, God is pure love, and pure love forgives and forgets. How many times have you been forgiven by God or by others? Just think about that. God probably like thousands of times. Other people, you know. When's the last time that we had to humble ourselves and ask for someone's forgiveness? That is a humbling experience. Because you do not know what the outcome is going to be of that experience. I found this, a good apology has three parts. "I'm sorry. It was my fault. How do I make it right?" And if you can't read it up there, but a lot of people, it says a lot of people forget the third part. What can I do to make the situation right? So after you apologize, how does that make you feel if the person accepted your apology? Still maybe a little bit of shame, still maybe a little bit uneasy about the relationship, but you start to feel better. This person has given you a second chance. Especially us husbands. How many times have our wives given us that second chance to make things right? And you're almost thankful for that second chance, and you're like saying, "I'm not going to blow it again. I learned my lesson. I'm not going to do that again." Just a little reminder. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. So all those times we ask for God's forgiveness, if there's something hanging, that if we're hanging on to a grudge or something against someone else, we might as well not have even spoken to God. Because he's not going to allow us to be forgiven if we still are holding bad feelings for someone else. And then forgiveness can be healing for both sides. I am convinced that people do not want to go through life with a list of people they do not like. At least I don't. I think people want to try to make things right between or with another person. And we need to remember that that can be good for both parties. It can be good for the person that was offended, and it can also be good for the person who committed the hurt. Our last one, love your enemies. Probably one of the tougher ones, at least for me. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of the Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. How do we treat people that we see as our enemies? People that we just do not get along with? People who have hurt us in the past? Do we speak harshly against them? Any chance you get, or any chance we get, do we rip them up so everybody else doesn't like them like we don't? Do we do anything we can to hurt them, hurt their reputation, gossip about them, or anything we can to make them look bad? Hopefully we don't. Hopefully we do the next two things. Do we forgive them even though they might not ask? And do we help them when they are in need? The last two things are what God expects us to do. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Let's think about how our actions. Are we anybody's enemy? Have we treated someone in a way that has caused us to be viewed as their enemy? And if we have, we got to make that situation right. That is our Christian duty. Is if we have wronged someone, we got to try to make that situation right. Can we live up to God's expectations? We try every day, hopefully. With His guidance, allowing the Spirit to work through us, we have a chance to live up to His expectations. Some of the things we could do to help us to live up to God's expectations: we need to be willing to turn situations over to God. And instead of just trying to do what we think is right, be patient and ask God for wisdom and guidance. We need to see things from others' perspectives. Sometimes that is tough. To say, why would that person do that? Why would they feel like that? Why would they have that opinion? But we need to try to put ourselves in that other person's place, and maybe that'll help us to understand their actions. We need to remember how many times we have been forgiven. We need to remember that God loves all people, not just the ones we like. God does not have the same opinion of people as we do. You know God loves ISIS? He loves all the members of ISIS. And He can't wait for the day when they turn from their hatred and come back to Him. God loves that person that you can't stand more than anybody else. He loves everyone. And He wants all of us to be with Him forever. And finally, we need to pray for strength, guidance, and compassion each day. Our Heavenly Father has such compassion for us. He has such love for us. That's what He expects us to show each other. John read that we are supposed to be lights for the world, not hidden away. Our faith is not supposed to be under a basket somewhere. Let's pray each day that we can be those lights for other people, that we can live up to God's expectations. Help us, let's pray that we can be helped, that when we mess up and we sin, we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. Let's also pray that if we're holding any bad feelings, that we let those go. Because God is not going to forgive anything we do until we have forgiven others. And hopefully, if we can do those things, God will say, "You met my expectations. Great job. Come into my heavenly kingdom." Dear Heavenly Father, we know being a Christian demands a lot. But every day, You show us love, mercy, and grace beyond what we could fathom. You showed us so much love that You were willing to sacrifice Your Son on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins. And we pray, Lord, that we can carry that same forgiveness in our hearts for others that hurt us. If we have hurt anyone, Lord, help us to be aware and help us to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness and what we can do to make the situation right. And please help us, Lord, each day to be lights for the world, lights that show Your love and Your mercy, and may we be a good example in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we have the invitation. If you want the prayers of the church for any reason, you can come forward. Or if you want to become a member of God's family and you feel that you are ready to be baptized and join God's family, you can also come forward at this time. We do have one prayer request for Sean. He is struggling with some things in his life right now. So we keep him in your prayers today and throughout the week. Roger will lead us in a prayer of invitation. So if we can help you in any way, come forward at this time.